They're going to be our missionary speakers. Go ahead, give them a hand. And their family. Look, they can't wait to get up here. Love it. This is part of what God has already orchestrated for today. And over the last couple of days, I've been texting back and forth, Pastor Dave, a couple of different issues keep coming up, this, that, and the other thing. And it's just been a marvel how God's moving here, God's moving there. And I remember one of the last texts that I sent to Pastor Dave was, I said, relax. God's got this. It's His church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So the Spirit's here leading and guiding us. And so I want to take just a minute. First of all, we're going to pray for Pastor Dave and a few other people that maybe have this icky stuff going on. And then we want to pray for the Spirit's anointing on John and Steph and what they're going to be sharing with us today. So why don't you stand with me and we're going to agree together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can come into your presence with thanksgiving. We can come into your presence with praise. Lord, we can come into your presence with just aware of your awesome greatness and how you are building your church. You are pulling strings. You are making arrangements. You're closing doors. You're opening doors. And Lord, it's going to be for the advancing of your kingdom today. It's going to be for your glory. It's going to be for your honor. And Lord, we're thankful for John and Steph and their family here today. Lord, we're thankful that because you're orchestrating this and because your Spirit has already moved and led and guided people, we're confident that your Spirit is going to be poured out onto them. Lord, we're thankful that the word that you've given them, Lord, is going to be anointed. It's going to speak. It's going to be powerful. Lord, we're just thankful that God the Holy Spirit is going to bring the word through our speakers today. Lord, we just bless you and we thank you for that. Lord, we're thankful for your work at the cross. We're thankful for the blood that was shed. We're thankful for your triumph over every work of the enemy at the cross. And right now we lift Pastor Dave, we lift other members of our congregation to your throne of grace. And we just want to pray right now for the blood of Jesus to bring life, to bring health, to bring healing to their mortal bodies. We're thankful that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in them and He can quicken their mortal bodies. We're thankful that at the cross you defeated sickness, you disarmed illness and these attacks from the enemy. We're thankful that you overcame and you triumphed over every one of them. And Lord, we just pray right now for that victory and the triumph of the cross to be demonstrated in their bodies. Lord, we give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to turn it over to them. There is a bunch of information in your bulletin about them. John, Stephanie, Reamer, and I'll let them take over.
All right. I should have a mic. Am I good?
Yeah.
All right. So I am John Reamer, and this is my wife, Stephanie. We brought with us our three children, which is Austin and Ethan. They're age 14, and Rainey, who is age 9. So we just want to introduce to you ourselves, tell you a little bit about our mission, who we are, what we're up to, and just how God's really been orchestrating this. But before we get into that, I just want to say a special thanks to both Kevin and Tony and just the missions committee here. You've been kind. You've invited us in last night and all everybody who was there. It was just a good time to get to know your church, get to know the hearts of some of your leaders, and this church is truly blessed, and we're excited about that as well. So with that, we are Chi Alpha leaders at Michigan Tech. We got a couple, one techie in the house. So I'm a Michigan Tech grad, 1997, so it's been a couple years and a little bit longer in the back. But Michigan Tech's always been on my heart. And one thing about the local church at Michigan Tech is they really reached out and loved on their college students. And that has stayed with me all the way through my life, in fact. And the Chi Alpha group that was there when I showed up on campus was just, it was student-led. It was people who, you know, upperclassmen who, when I got on campus, they called me and said, hey, it's Saturday night. We're going to church tomorrow. Can we pick you up? The right answer to that question is yes. Not maybe, or I'm too busy, or I'm hungover, or anything like that. It's yes. We got positive influence in my life that kept me going, that showed me the way as to college, and that's always been in my heart as something I wanted to do and be for somebody someday. So with that, we're planning to launch. We'll show you our timeline a little bit, but we're launching in fall of 2024, and it is spring of 2024 right now. So we'll show you our timeline in a bit, but we're in progress, in flow. We're not totally landed, but we'll show you what that looks like. So, Steph, you want to tell us about who we are a little bit more?
Yeah, well, how did it all start, I think, is even more important. I'll take that one because it has a lot to do with John's dad.
Close.
Yeah, it has a lot to do with John's dad, actually. And so he doesn't get choked up, I'll tell you about it. So in 2019, John's dad was actually diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer. And at that time, it made us really step back and look at our lives and say, you know, are we doing what God has called us to do? And what do we want to do with our retirement at that point? We're like, that's a couple years out. We got small children. What do we want to do when we retire? We can really pour in to the Lord's work when we have all that free time. And through a variety of circumstances, the Lord just said, why are you waiting till you retire? Right? How about you start now? And we just said, you know, our lives are yours. What do you want us to do? We're a couple engineers. What can we do for you? Well, we can talk to other nerdy engineers. That's what we can do. So that's where the seed of Michigan Tech was really in our hearts, and God started growing that.
Yeah, and then in 2019, that bug was in our heart. So we canceled our family vacation, normally planned, and we headed up to Houghton on kind of a house hunting, research, recon kind of trip, right? Good engineers, we're going to do our research up front right before we jump in. And we met with some of our friends from the church. They showed us the town. They showed us, hey, here's where people are living. Here's different places to live. We were excited. It was go time in our minds. But then doors started to close. Has anybody ever got on the train and then God starting to slow it down a little bit? We didn't know why. We were there. We were ready. But doors were closing in our jobs. Doors were closing with different things. And does anybody know what happened in 2020? There's this big thing called the country shutdown, campus shutdown. What a terrible time to launch a campus ministry would have been 2020. And we didn't know that until it got there. And it's like, oh, guess what? God knows things that we don't. So it was a blessing there. Those stops were put in place for a reason. And then after that, we just started to, we kind of went on pause. And that, has anybody ever done that? God's put a bug in your heart, and then you just kind of know about it, but you keep walking. And that's kind of where we were come 2021, and in 2023, we were at Spencer Lake Bible Camp. Has anybody ever been to Spencer Lake Bible Camp in Waupaca? God moves there in a special way. There's just something about the presence of the Holy Spirit there that he can work through people. He can get to me. The speaker that night was giving a message during family camp and said, there's people in this room that God's given a mission and you're not doing anything about it. Yeah, ooh. That was like a 2x4 in the face. And for a person like me, that's exactly what I needed. And in fact, it was one of those God moments where I went, you know, had my altar time. I went back and the speaker gave me one of those, come back up, you didn't get enough. So God was talking to me through him. You know, it's one of those weird things. He knew that I was struggling with something, and he called me back in an audience of, what, a couple hundred people. This guy needs a little more. And at that moment, the word from him was just, you need to tell people, and you need to start taking steps. And the problem is when you start telling people, and you start taking steps, you're going. And that's really right where God needed me to be at that time.
Yep, and so here we are. So God basically told us we need to sell our farm that we had built and go up to Michigan Tech. So that's what we did. So we sold the family farm. We were able to sell to some family, thank God. And so that worked out. That was God orchestrated as well. And we just moved up to Houghton in August. So we're new. We are now Youpers. I've got the front license plate saying Youper. Proud to be.
One of the key events I want to circle around, though, is with my dad being sick. And if anybody's been involved with family hunting land, family farms, there's something heavy about land ownership. And Dad, after his diagnosis, this was on our heart to leave. And basically, we asked him, Dad, we know we're on the farm. Are you okay with us leaving? Because God's really put this on our heart. And prior to his passing,
He said, let the dead bury their dead. You go do what God told you to do.
So having that blessing from Dad, there's never going to be anything in our heart that said, we should have. The family can't say, you should have. All those things, God just orchestrated that in a very beautiful way. And we were able to sell to my niece and nephew. So my brother got part of the farm. I had part of the farm. So now his grandkids live next door. God works things out in a way that we don't understand.
Yep.
So now we're up at this summer. We got. Does anybody know it's hard to buy a house today? We had no idea how hard it would be to relocate to Houghton. Just briefly, our experience for house hunting was houses go on sale Thursday. You got to be there Friday or Saturday to look at it, and you better bid. And then you got to figure out how much over the asking price you want to bid, because they're making a decision on Sunday. I don't buy a car like that, let alone a house.
I'll pay you $5,000 over sticker if you give me this car.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. But throughout the summer, God was working in that too. He was closing doors on places where we shouldn't be. And there was a prophetic word at church. Leaving a farm is very hard. It's hard for the family. It's hard for me. It's what we built. It's a lifestyle. There's a prophetic word praying at our church, and one of our elders said, God's going to provide a place where you're going to love as more than what you currently have. You ever get a word from a Christian that you really don't believe? That's what I did. I mean, God, I get it. I got the concept. But in my heart, I did not believe it. But God is true. He's faithful. And he worked through that, through the house hunting. We could talk all day about that. But ultimately, we ended up at a spot. We're about 8 blocks from campus, which is walking distance, which is awesome. And we got room that we can host students, and it's just a nice spot next to Michigan Tech that we can share some land of theirs, and God provided in a marvelous way.
Yep. Yep. Praise the Lord. Yep.
So we're in Houghton. Yep. We're at in the
All
story.
Right. So next slide. All right. And so, you know, as we've been investigating Chi Alpha at Michigan Tech, we really felt strongly that now is the right time to go. And really, why? Well, I was surprised. Like, why did we wait till after COVID to go? And we found that there is 43% of young adults that have never attended church now after COVID versus 30% before. That's incredible. That is sad. And then there's wars and rumors of wars, and we all know from Matthew what that means. The end is coming. And for sure, now we are a post-Christian nation, right? We, as Americans, we know. The statistic on that is only 31% of young adults say they believe in God as stated in the Bible. That means two-thirds of them do not believe in God. So now more than ever, we need the word out there. And we need to tell people the truth, because they're looking for truth and they're not finding it. They're trying to find it in all different ways, all the worldly ways and all the human ways, but they're not looking to our God, who is the only source of truth.
And it's a whole different world as we think about the United States becoming post-Christian, because even my generation, right, mom and dad dragged virtually everybody I went to school with got to church. But now we're talking to individuals where you say the word and they don't know what you mean, because they've never heard the Bible. They haven't been in church. They just haven't experienced Christianity at all in any flavor. So it again is a very great time to be on campus in this pivotal time of people's lives, right? When they're going to make a turn for Christianity or not. And I'm sure you've heard from some of the other Chi Alpha missionaries that even our church youth group, we got like an 80% fail rate after they leave. They get to campus and they walk away from God. So.
All right. Better pick it up, John.
Yeah.
So you have room for your... Okay, and so what are we doing now? We're planting seeds. We're seeing where the seeds might grow on campus. And we know that as seeds grow, that hard ground can be broken up. And it can become fertile for the Lord. And so that's the stage we're in right now at Michigan Tech. We're just kind of planting seeds, seeing where that fruit might lie. We'll go to the next one. And we found a whole bunch of people that we never expected at the church up there. We have about 40 to 50 African students that are attending church, and these people are spirit-filled, believing, Christian-believing students. It's amazing. They are prayer warriors. Praise the Lord. So this is what we believe God sent to start his mission at Michigan Tech.
And part of this call is very unique. After I said yes, I told people. I told some of my friends who worked for the district, and the Chi Alpha leader was in a meeting like a couple of weeks later and said, hey, this guy from up in Hancock, Michigan called me and says he's got so many college students coming to his church, he doesn't know what to do with them. And my friend says, well, didn't Reamer talk to you? He's like, no, Reamer did not talk to me. And he said, well, he told me a couple of weeks ago he's supposed to go to Michigan Tech to reach college students. So here again, God's working on my heart. God's working through the pastor and through the students coming, and it all kind of connects in a mission in a way that we can't orchestrate as people.
Okay. And so what we have found is that Christianity is growing at an amazing rate, actually, in Africa. So all those seeds that the Americans have planted by sending missionaries to Africa is now returning to us. And the vision God gave us is to use these African students. He is going to use these African students to save the American freshmen. Isn't that an amazing reversal? God is so into reversals.
And these students that we have coming, these are the African students that we've been meeting with through our church. They're PhD students, they're master's students. These are the highest caliber individuals that Africa has to offer, coming to Michigan Tech as on-fire, spirit-believing Christians. And it's not the typical Chi Alpha model by any means to say, here's a whole bunch of international students, but it's what God's provided for us. And we're definitely going to use that to use it, because a lot of Chi Alpha students end up on a campus and they're looking for somebody. They're starting with 2, 4, you know, just people to bring together in Bible study. Here we have believers coming up to us that said, hey, when I was in Ghana, I was a campus pastor. Can you use me? I'm like, I can use you. You know, I did evangelism on my campus. Can I be part of your group? I'm like, yes, you can be part of our group. So these are high caliber individuals that are very outgoing. They're top notch. And as we introduce them to American students, they glom to these people because they're exciting. They're cool. It's like, your culture's awesome. How did you get here? So it's a great tool that only God can orchestrate.
And they can sense the spirit in them.
Absolutely.
For sure. All right. And so we started to meet the students through a coat drive. So if you can imagine, in Africa, you can't buy winter coats, and they are moving to Houghton. So a lot of them land in January to get for spring semester, and they're like, turn this plane around. Where did I go? And so we start out with a coat drive, and that's how we met a lot of the students. And actually, we hosted Thanksgiving at our place. Don't ever make an African mashed potatoes. They won't eat it. But we, as you can see, we had about 40 students show up for Thanksgiving. I mean, just incredible what God has already put into place at Michigan Tech. Unbelievable to step into that. And they have some wonderful, as John mentioned, they are campus pastors. They're evangelists. They have wonderful ideas all on their own. And so we've joined with them already to do a Worship of Nations night at the grad school dorms. We also had a Praying in the New Year where we had 47 students at our house dancing around in the Holy Spirit. Prayer, like unbelievable, through Psalm 23. I mean, the Spirit was there, and it was an amazing way to bring in the new year.
And as everybody's hopping in our living room, I'm just so thankful we have an I-beam going down the center of the living room.
Engineer over there.
But there's momentum. That's the exciting part. We're just showing up as part of this plan that God has orchestrated and doing our part to be that. So if we walk through kind of where we're at, we got the Spencer Lake call. You've heard about that, where God really spoke to our hearts. That's when we said yes. House hunting began spring of 2023. We have our kickoff, our move to Houghton was this August. So we got into town and got settled. And really, this is kind of, for campus missionaries, what they want. They want us to get to town early, get our kids in school, get settled in the neighborhood, you know, settle down. And then connect with your local church, which obviously has been a blessing for us. Not only the pastor, the leadership, but the students that we're able to connect with gets us momentum right off the ground. And right now, we're in the spring of 2024, where we're starting to build our budget and trying to figure out how we're going to keep this perpetually going as a ministry. And then that'll lead to the launch then in fall of 2024, where we can actually get on campus. The Assemblies of God, thank goodness, is very strict about who they let on campus in the name of the Assemblies of God. That's a great thing. But for the, we're in a 10-month training program that's intensive. We spent 2 weeks so far down in Missouri. A lot of it we do over the internet, things like that, so that we can have our classes. But they're driving leadership, quality, and then just an overall practice. So you don't show up on campus and say, hey, we're here, let's lead a Bible study. No, we want an effective program, an effective ministry for God that's Spirit-led, that has all the right motives, and that we're doing the right things so that we don't fail.
Yep. Okay. You can go ahead.
I like to throw the numbers up there just so that you can see for a couple things. One is ministry takes money. Essentially, this is going to be a small church on campus. We're not going to substitute for the local church, but for our midweek and for our ministries for small group, etc., this is essentially a small church that's going to meet on campus. A couple other things is I've been in your seat for many years, and I don't want you to think, oh, here's just another missionary looking for money, because I've been there and I've thought that. What I would just challenge you to think of is, hey, when missionaries come, just know that they can't go without you, without support. In fact, the Assemblies of God, if you don't have your budget met, you stay home. You stay off the mission field, and that's for two reasons. One, it's to protect the people, so that they don't go out, starve, die, and essentially fail. And then the other thing is they want you to be successful both in your ministry and in the support for the missionaries. What you'll see that's a little bit different about our budget is we are bivocational. I still have a day job. Working with Chi Alpha is going to be my side job. Just like I used to side farm 20 or 30 hours a week, I said, hey, God, I can definitely do that in ministry. So what you don't see up here on the budget is putting food on our table. This is just exactly what we figure and what we're budgeting to get on campus and keep it going. So left to right, startup costs, getting some leader training, just getting some of our outreach, getting our campus, our freshman reach out time. All these things take little bits of money that we need to invest in. And we want people to say, hey, I like this mission. I'd be welcome to support that. Ongoing mission. For conferences, for travel, for getting people to Spencer Lake. We do a fall Chi Alpha retreat that we've been involved with for the last 2 years. It's awesome seeing, 50, 60 people getting baptized in Spencer Lake in October. Seeing that God's moving on the other campuses is also powerful. When we show up there and we see that UW-Oshkosh, UW-Madison's there, they bring 20, 30, 40 people. All of the area districts come together, so it builds momentum in each of the different campuses, so that's important. And then ongoing capital spend, we don't need anything right now, but as we're looking forward, even when we had 40 people in our living room, we realized, oh, we need a mic system because we can't hear our worship singers with 40 people, because this will probably got 50, 60 people here. If we had no mics here, you couldn't hear the singer. So just as we're looking forward, we're saying, hey, there's going to be some capital spend that we want to build to. We don't need any of that now, but we want to keep it in the forefront of our minds and anybody who would want to get with us. So that's the money piece. Anything else?
Nope, I think you covered it. All right, and so how can you partner with us? Like, first of all, pray. Keep praying for us. And just pray that that mission field just bears a lot of fruit and that our students walk out with the spirit and boldness as they reach beyond their racial color to the white students that are on campus. That's a big ask. But the Lord doesn't see color. The Lord sees children of God. And so pray for that, because that is a hurdle to take African grad students and minister to American undergrads. So God will do anything. He'll use them, and I know he's put this mission at Michigan Tech, so I'm not worried, but pray.
But just to that point, though, I've talked to a number of our leaders. We've identified some key people that are going to be with us during launch and said, hey, we need our African community to be missional. We need to reach out to the rest of the campus. And one of our leaders just told me, I think it was last Sunday, he said, God wakes me up at night saying, you need to be a missionary. He said, I can't get that out of my head, that I've been sent here to the United States as a missionary. He said, God just keeps waking me up and telling me that I have to do that. So that prayer in these people is motivating them to change their way. They're not just here for a graduate school. They're here to be a missionary.
Okay, and next, give to Michigan Tech. So if you'd like to support us, we'd be very blessed to partner with you and continue the mission that we have. So again, we're just raising a missional budget, so not our personal expenses, just enough to stay with the college. And that would stay with the college, no matter if we're there or not. We have no plans to leave, of course. But Wisconsin Northern Michigan is set up in a different way than a lot of other districts, that any monies raised for this mission would stay with the campus, no matter who is the director of that campus. So it will always go towards Michigan Tech. And then also, this is really important. If you know anybody headed to campus, headed to Michigan Tech, let us know. Contact us. We would love to get to know them. We want to make sure that those church kids are taken care of and have a place of fellowship and a place where they can continue their faith in a safe place. And if there isn't a Chi Alpha at a campus that they're going to, please encourage them. There's Crew, there's InterVarsity. All these are just wonderful ministries to the campus. All right, and that's us.
And that's who we are.
Why don't you stand with me, and we're going to pray, and we're going to ask for God's blessing on them. So if you want, just kind of stretch out your arm, and if there's some deacons here, why don't you guys come on up with me, if we have any deacons here. Just come on up. I want to lay hands on them, pray, and ask for God's blessing onto them. Our Father in heaven, we are just so thankful for the work that you have already begun to do. Lord, we're thankful that you open doors, you close doors. Lord, we're thankful that you are leading and guiding. Lord, we're thankful that you have already prepared the ground. We're thankful that you're already preparing hearts. We're thankful that by your Spirit, you are already calling people to be part of this ministry. Lord, we're thankful for John and Steph and how you're adding them to your church that you are building in that area. And Lord, we're thankful for them being obedient to your prompting. And Lord, we're thankful that your word tells us that you will bless them for their faithfulness. Lord, you will lead, you will guide, and you will provide. Lord, where you guide, you provide. We're thankful that you're Jehovah Jireh. Lord, we want to pray that you would supply the financial needs. We're thankful that you are supplying the people needs. And Lord, we're thankful that you will be bringing people to them that they might minister Jesus. Lord, we ask that your anointing would be on them. We ask that the power of the Word of God would be spoken and demonstrated in people's lives there. Father in heaven, we just want to rejoice with them today. Lord, we just bless you and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 They're going to be at the table in the back. If you would like to stop back there, they've got little prayer cards as a reminder. You can ask them some questions if you'd like, but feel free to meet them there. They might be downstairs a little later on with a refreshment time, too. Thank you very much.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't dismiss us yet. You'll miss the sermon.
Okay.
He has a little sermon for you that he can do in 20.
Well, I guess God's providing more stuff.
Or you got that.
I got my mic.
Thank you.
Have a seat. We're having some more.
If you got more time, he said I got time. Good morning, everybody. So we wanted to give you an introduction to our ministry, which was what we just did. But we also, Tony mentioned a chance to bring the word. So I just want to bring a brief message. It's getting briefer and briefer the more we talk. On Jonah. We got Jonah. It's more than a fish story. It's interesting because everybody, is there anybody here who has not heard the story of Jonah? We talk about it in Sunday school. Most people think of Jonah and the whale. Jonah and the big fish in a lot of translations. But I want to say it's more than a fish story. The more I read Jonah, we can take it in all different directions because it's such a powerful story. And as I start digging into Jonah, I think what's really interesting about it is what a small portion Jonah is in the Bible. Jonah's four chapters, 2 to 3 pages, depending on how big your type is in your Bible. And Jonah's only mentioned a couple times. He's mentioned in Kings that he was a prophet, so we got some legitimacy there in who he was. We have his account, which for best we can tell, it's not truly defined, but we're pretty sure that Jonah wrote the book of Jonah, because he's got some details in there that probably only he knows. And then Jesus mentions Jonah. There's been some theological discussion of whether Jonah's really legit. How many people, like, you read a story and it's so miraculous, so far-fetched, if you will, that could it really be true? I'm here today, I'm definitely in the belief that Jonah is true. It happened. He was a prophet. He did get swallowed by a fish. He did get thrown overboard. We're going to talk about the story a little bit. But the amazing thing, and I think what really legitifies this, is Jesus quotes Jonah. Jesus quotes him in Matthew, comes up again in Luke, actually twice in Matthew he hits it. So I'm pretty sure if the Savior of this world believes in Jonah, I think I can too. So with that as a preface, a little bit about Jonah is... He came from an area of Galilee. And it's interesting, as I was doing the research on Jonah, as the Pharisees were arguing with, or trying to legitimize Jesus, they said, well, no prophets ever come from Galilee. We know nothing good comes from Nazareth, but they also said that no prophets have come from Galilee, but Jonah did. So it starts to really legitimize the story of who Jesus is and what he was. The other thing that's really neat, I think, about Jonah is he came to talk to Gentiles. Many of us in this room are Gentiles. I have no Jewish blood. Sometimes I really wish I did, because the amazement of Jewish people is amazing, the people that I've worked with throughout my life. But I am German. So that, just by geography, makes me a Gentile. And I thank God that, one, he cares about Gentiles, and that Jesus came and Jonah went to Gentiles. So I think the message is very good. I want to start this off as more than just a fish story, because everybody thinks of Jonah and the whale. But then I started, all the fish stories that I was trying to think that people tell, you know, it's always about the fish that grows, the fish that got away, and then I'd be telling a story and starting my sermon off as a liar. So it didn't feel good. But one story that I did think of is when we did one of these fly-out fishing things when I was a kid. We only did it once. Dad had this great idea that it's really neat to be dropped off by an airplane and you're going to survive in Canada in this little camp for a week. But what we found out is the best place to fish on this lake, it was a walleye lake, the best place to fish was on top of a waterfall. Like, you had to have your boat on top of the waterfall, and the guide said, well, you just put your little outboard in idle and you fish all day. My dad's kind of a safety freak, and that was not his plan of fishing all day. So what we ended up, there was just a little knoll, and he would sit on this knoll, like a little outcrop, in the middle of the lake. He would sit there and hold the boat while my mom and I fished. And as I think of that, just kind of the foreshadowing, that's what ministry is kind of about, isn't it? The good fishing is oftentimes not in your comfort zone. You have to get above that waterfall. You can't fish from shore for the good fishing usually. You got to be out in the boat. You got to be in the danger zone. But isn't it nice that we got a father to hang on to our boat? And that's the best I can come up with a fish story to kick this one off. So, Jonah, we'll skip ahead to Jonah 1 here, and we'll read it. This is where Jonah starts off. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. This guy's not a prize prophet anymore, is he? He's going the wrong way. A couple things that's very clear. God gave him a mission. Sort of like I kind of foreshadowed before in our discussion, God gave Jonah a mission where to go. And how popular is it for a prophet to show up and announce judgment? You come into a town and say, hey, God's going to destroy this place. Anybody with me? So let's just talk a little bit about Nineveh. I tend to be more of a teacher than a preacher. So whether you like that or not, you're going to have to bear with that just for a second. We're going to give you a couple details about Nineveh. First, it's the capital of Assyria. Assyria is north of Israel. We got the little map there, the circle. Assyria is the enemy of Israel. So, Jonah's pretty justified in his mind, because a lot of people say, well, why did Jonah just not want to go? God told him. Well, he was told to go to his enemies and preach and try to save them. So it's very likely he hated the Assyrians. I think everything I've read in the history is that there's hate. Like, these were bad people. So he's justified in the idea that, well, maybe I shouldn't go. It's a big city. At the time, it's perhaps the largest city of the time. It's where modern-day Mosul is. Anybody who followed the Iraq War, a lot of bad stuff happened in Mosul, a lot of fighting there. It's a real place. Google Maps, you got to trust Google Maps on this one. It's an 800-mile trip from probably where Jonah was to Nineveh. That's 13 hours by car, and if you're walking 24/7, it's 247-hour walk. So I can justify why I don't want to go on a 247-hour walk. I could justify why I don't want to go on a 13-hour car ride. I can justify in my mind why I don't want to go to Houghton. That's too far away. I got a good job here. My family's got to move, all that stuff. There's a lot of reasons why we wouldn't want to walk to Detroit if you're being called to go someplace. So let's take a look at Jonah's travel plan. That's what we got up here. Instead of going to Nineveh, he gets on a boat to Tarshish. Now, it's arguable where Tarshish is. It's not. I wish they would have said he's going to some other city, but no, Tarshish is known as the place of the smelter. So if anybody's from the Houghton or ever been to the Houghton area, if you say, I'm going to the area of the smelter, where is that? Could be Houghton, Hancock, maybe the other side of the peninsula, maybe Hubble. There's smelters all over. And in this time, there were three primary places where the smelters came from, this, typically thinking of silver. It could have been just north of Cyprus. There's a Tarshish there. There's one in Sardinia, that little island in the middle. And there's one in Spain. But needless to say, was he headed in the right direction? You do not have to be on a boat to go to Nineveh. And in fact, in his documentation, he clearly said he was running and hiding from God. So it's just interesting that no matter what the case, he's going in the wrong direction. But God can still work. So heading up to verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. There's a whole sermon right there, isn't there? Just people crying out to whatever's important or what they think is going to save them, but we'll skip that sermon for today. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten up the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to call on him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Jonah's pretty darn content where he's at, isn't he? He's fleeing from God, and he's sleeping like a baby. Everybody else is worried, but Jonah's not. Disobedience, there's a couple messages here. One is, I think, disobedience affects everybody around you. Not everybody, but others. If you're not following God, it's not just you. It could be a relationship with your family. It could be a relationship with your friends. It could be, in Jonah's case, this storm that's threatening everybody's lives. A lot of times we're not in that dramatic of a situation, but as we were preparing, we could feel just the forces at work as we're not quite following God's plan. Talk radio, I'm not going to tell you who I listen to because you either like me more or like me less, but one of the guys I listened to said that self-justification is the second most powerful human drive on earth. We won't tell you what the first most powerful is, that's up to you to Google and figure out. But people can always justify what they're up to. Whether it's me making a bad decision, well, it's because my whatever. Or Jonah could really self-justify, I'm going away from God because. But we really need to be careful. It's not to convince God and the other people around us that what we're doing is the right way. And that's exactly where Jonah was. He was so happy in his right way that this dude was sleeping. All right, well, we're going to fast forward a little bit. We're going to skip the part where they figure out that Jonah's the problem. They flip a few coins, cast lots, pick sticks, however they figure that out. They said, "Jonah, you're the problem." And in verse 12, they said, Jonah says, "Well, pick me up and throw me into the sea." He replied, "And it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon us." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wider. Just the interesting part that I hear as we go through the account here is Jonah, they know Jonah's the problem. Jonah, in fact, even tells them how to solve their problem, but they'd rather try something else. And I think Steph put it, we know what the answer is to so many of life's problems, the depression, the things that are hitting our campus, the things that are hitting our friends and people and family around us. God is the answer. The message of Jesus is the answer, but yet we try everything else. So Jonah's no different. He's human. So men will always try to do their best, but they really need to look to God for what that answer really needs to be. Jonah 14. It's just interesting having the screen right above me. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life." Right? We're just going to throw him overboard. "Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, okay, focus in on verse 16. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. These guys had an encounter with the Almighty God through this whole situation. Because a couple of verses ago, they were crying out to their own gods. That didn't work. They threw this guy over, and it was a miraculous happening. The seas calmed. They recognized it, and their lives were changed. These guys greatly feared the Lord. They offered sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows, deep convictions, promise, like, "Hey, God, I'm going to follow you," because that just worked. You're working now. And what I see here is that God can work through man's disobedience. Right? Jonah's on the wrong trip. He's not even supposed to be on this boat. But yet God works through him in a way to save this crew. And I think the interesting part about this, as I was reading through this, is that God did not give Jonah the mission to go to sail from Joppa and save a crew. But did he? Absolutely he did. He saved the crew. He did something good for God, but it wasn't God's plan. And I just look at my own story, through my life's journey. There's a couple of years where we were on pause. We kind of skipped over it in our story. But God had closed the door in 2020, or 2019, right? COVID came. And then we were just kind of going, saying, well, God, whenever we're ready, whenever you're ready, you know, we'll go. And that didn't mean that I was a bad father. That didn't mean I was a bad Christian. That didn't mean I was leading a life of sin, arguably. But I wasn't fulfilling God's plan. And sure, I can self-justify. I was waiting on God's timing, right? We can always say, oh, God's not quite ready for me yet. I'm waiting for tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. But for a long time, I was really avoiding that real call that God placed on my life. And what I saw was similar to Jonah's. The storm started moving in. Just the farming thing. Farming had been my life, right? I'd work, get done from work, and then we'd farm. And my boys last night at the missions talk were telling the story. They said, well, what's the most different? They said, well, we can do things other than farm now. Because it was, no, you can't play, you know, you can't go be in sports because you got to farm when you get home. So it was always farming. And the storm of farming became real in our lives. We got, has anybody heard of, our apple trees got this blight. It got delivered to us from a delivery truck, and it was spreading wildly through our apple orchard. Work, work, work. All these bad things is like, I'm not saying it was, I think it was God sent, but things were getting hard. It wasn't fun anymore, and it wasn't because I was a bad person, but I believe it was because we weren't on God's journey. So just know that through life's journey, God can steer you, good, bad, or otherwise. So let's finish up here a couple points. We're going to skip Jonah 2. Jonah, because Jonah prays, great prayer, and he gets spit out on the beach. And the real point I want to zoom in on is, what if the message never got delivered to Nineveh? What if he stayed on that boat? What if when he got off of the ship, he didn't answer? So Jonah 3 picks up like this. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time, verse 3, this time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see in all. We'll keep moving here. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now Nineveh will be destroyed. Great message, just prepare for the people. But the people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast, put on burlap and a show of their sorrow. Click one more. I know we're flying because I got 5 minutes here. When the king of Nineveh heard that Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. The king and his nobles decreed, we have a politician here. And we won't talk politics, but we have a politician who humbled himself before the Lord. He declares for his country, we got to change. God was preparing hearts before Jonah. Similar to our story, God's been preparing hearts. He's been bringing Africans to Michigan Tech. It's not Jonah that's just showing up. It's God's plan being orchestrated in an amazing way. If Jonah doesn't go, it doesn't happen like this. We can argue, is God going to work anyway? Absolutely. God's not going to say, you know what? Because Jonah didn't go, because Remers didn't go, this story's done. No, that's not the way God works. God finds a way, but it's not the way he wanted it. It's not plan A. And I think more than anything, as we go to our couple points, we'll go to point one. Jonah was a follower of God. He was just disobedient. So he wasn't a bad person. He was a prophet. He loved God. It talks a couple times, he was a follower of God. But just like in my story, I was leading small groups at church. I was being a good guy, but I wasn't exactly 100% obedient. And if you're not 100% obedient, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you're missing out on what God's really trying to do. Number two, point, Jonah's obedience led to miraculous salvation. God's plan A was to save this place of Nineveh. Not only did he save the people, it actually talks that God's mind was changed. We skipped over that a little bit, but God's mind was changed. We see that Moses changed God's mind through prayer. People's humility changed God's mind. So point number three. And that is my point number three, is that people's repentance changed God's mind. When people humble their hearts, throughout the Bibles we read through, God loves a humble heart. God loves a person who turns from their evil ways. That's what we want to see in our churches. That's what we want to see on our campuses. We want to see that humble obedience to God. My final reference here is just Matthew. Jesus comes and references Jonah. He says, you guys all want to see a miracle? The only miracle that you're really going to get is, he says, I'm going to, for as Jonah, verse 40, for as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And he also talks that the people of Nineveh are going to cast judgment against the people who rejected Jesus, which is a hard word to hear. These people that from Assyria are going to be better than the Pharisees. So let's bring it to wraps here. We'll click to just, we can close here. If the message of Jesus is to you is new here, Jesus declares throughout the Bible that he's the Son of God. And I never want to neglect the chance to say, you know what? Everyone sometime through their life has to decide what they're going to do with Jesus. Is it going to be somebody you're going to follow, somebody you're going to ignore, or choose your own way? We have to figure that out. And the choice is only up to you. Only you can make that decision of what you're going to do with Jesus. And probably for people who show up at first service in Kingsford, the message is probably to those who already have chosen to follow Jesus. Our calling in life is more than just living. It's more than just loving God. It's more than just being who we are. God has called us to a bigger mission someplace. For a lot of you, it's just being here at church, being investing in church, loving people in your church. For some of you, it's reaching out on a mission that God's given you. And for some of you, it's prayerfully supporting other missionaries. I don't know what that is for you, but just be looking for ways that you can serve and be on God's plan A. So with that, let's close in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for the chance here just to bring this word of Jonah to the people here at Kingsford. Lord, we just know that you are a sovereign God. Lord, we know that you have the ability to change the world. One heart at a time, Lord, you are at work, Lord, in a supernatural way, in so many ways that we don't even understand. Lord, we just thank you that you are always working. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, first for those who Jesus might be a new message, Lord, just burn that in their heart, Lord, that I have to decide what I'm going to do with Jesus. Because someday, Lord, you're going to ask, what did you do with me? Did you love me? Did you follow me? Or did you go your own way? And Father, we just also pray for those of all of us Christians, Lord, there's a great commission out there that says we need to make disciples. Lord, whether that's our next door neighbor, whether that's somebody in Sunday school class, Lord, whether it's the person sitting right next to me in a small group, Lord, just help us to reach out and just be part of your A plan, Lord, for our lives so that your glory can be done, Lord, and so that you can bless us the way you've wanted to bless us. We just thank you for just being in this service and your spirit flowing through worship, through prayer, and through this word. Bless us now as we go through the rest of our morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we're dismissed, I just want to share briefly. Again, see them in the back if you've got some questions, want to talk with them a little bit more. They got some prayer cards back there. If you want to donate anything to them on our little offering envelopes, you can write their name on there, and that offering will specifically go to their needs. So, Father in heaven, we are just grateful for this day. We're thankful for all that you have provided, all that you're doing. Lord, we're thankful that you will continue to do that, for you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.